Right. I'm going to do something dangerous this morning. I'm going to ask a dangerous question. Will you just ask the person next to you, will you share? It sounds like a little bit of a negative place to start, but we have to start somewhere, right? Just ask the person sitting next to you, have you ever been hurt or disappointed by a leadership figure? Share for 30 seconds. Share, where have you been hurt or disappointed by a leadership figure? Some of you are looking at one. I am 100% sure that you've had more difficult questions to ask in your life before. It was easy to list those 6, 7, or 8 circumstances. Am I right? I want to talk this morning a little bit about biblical leadership, and I'm not going to talk about submit to your leaders in the church. Okay, don't worry, there's two things, and I think I speak for both myself and Andres, that we're quite allergic to, than it is to preach about money and that you have to submit to us. Okay, we don't like that. So what I want to do is I want to go to Christ as our leader and see if there's some health for us there. I'll tell you why. Some of you will remember, it's been on and off, but I'm just finishing up with a little bit of a sermon series that I call The Whole Heart. I've been consulting and asking and looking and learning, like, what are some of the traits in the heart that we find amongst leaders, regular leaders in the kingdom that really fares well out there as disciple makers? And I've just compiled them in a 4-part sermon series. You'll find it on YouTube. Just navigate through a couple. It was... Those who do well tend to have loved hearts. They know the Lord loves them. And therefore, because they have received, they are able to give. They are loving. Those who tend to do well in the ministry, they have broken hearts. They're not only concerned as much about their own heart and life, but also about the hurt and the pains of others. And so they tend to extend a hand. And these people... they tend to do better because, of course, there's a reach, isn't there? And then there's the given heart. It's one thing to be skilled up by the Lord, to be gifted, to be eloquent, but to be unavailable is not helpful. And so there's a givenness that I see in healthy leaders. They tend to be there. They tend to make the sacrifice because they are given to the call. And then... there's something about leadership that they get. Now, I actually feel that this is, as I was preparing this week, I just, the Lord just kept on reminding me that this is a prophetic word, not for us, but for the church of today. As time goes on, the church is always reaching new people, the kingdom of God, isn't that true? But in every day, in every age, in every decade, there's different things that organizes the flow of the world out there. Isn't that true? I mean, can you still remember? Early 2000s, no Facebook. I mean, can you remember that world? I mean, if you want to know what your friend and his family looks like, wow, we didn't have that access. The world changed. But the world, there was also a time when the world didn't have a car, and then there was a time when the world got airplanes. And so the world is always changing. And because people are constantly coming to the Lord, we are coming into the kingdom, into the church with what we have out there. We're bringing the sicknesses of our spirits into church, and then the Lord helps us and heals us because he's our healer. He makes all things new because the things that comes in, they're not new. I'm one of them. Amen. Now, one thing that has been happening, especially the last while, is the godly view of leadership has been leaking out of the church. It's been heavily diluted. And if we can find again that which God has crystallized as leadership and prune towards that, we will be healthier and better off. Okay, and I know it's a duh, but let's get to some of the details. And this is going to be an intro of an intro. I don't think, I might not come back to this, but I just want to land one or two things for us. What I find is leaders that tend to do better than others is they get leadership. They've got a heart big enough to understand some of the different opposing forces. That because leadership is complex. It needs to be loving, it needs to be strong. Now that can look like opposites. It needs to be patient, but there needs to be a fire there, isn't that true? It needs to engage and try and bring God's peace into situations, but once there's three decisions and only one can be made, it means there might be a sense of conflict. We are moving now, and the world is at avoid conflict at all cost, and the church is leaking leadership. We need to prune. Are you with me this morning? Okay. I won't keep it there. I'll try and land it that makes an impact in your quiet time with the Lord tomorrow morning. If the Lord can help me, we can make it practical. The reason the world is moving away more visibly is because the access we have. But leadership in the world has changed to mainly influence and influencers. Now, this is not a shot at John Maxwell. The leadership people will know John Maxwell says leadership is influence. He said that in the 90s. Okay, I'm talking about a culture of influence that has burst upon us through the internet. Okay. People might say, I follow, that's vocabulary of leadership. I follow Ben Shapiro. You've never met him. Where do you follow him? You follow him on the screen. And he has a measure of influence on you. Okay? Because that what he says, you listen to, and if you listen to him a lot, you start to sound like him and like his ideas. Am I right? All right. So I follow this person, and I prefer, and some of the people we follow, they're good people, okay? But they exercise influence on us. Are you with me? Now when I go home, they don't have authority over me. So I pick and choose the factors of influence I like and I bring that to my life. But that which I do not like, I reject. And this is the leadership flow the world right now is accepting and celebrating. Up to the point that we have church, we've got people, believers saying after lockdown, I am now a part of a church in Australia, which I follow online. Now, godly leadership has leaked out. There's leadership, but there's no authority and there's no accountability. It is broken. Now, it might not be the same here, but it's very important that we know where the sun is, that we can grow towards the sun and prune well. Follow me as we carry on here. I'm going to read you two scriptures and see how it feels on the stomach. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Do you feel that? Do you feel that? There's something in us that says no. They can't be good to me. They can't be good for me. I will allow influence. But this is stuff I've been hurt too many times. There's reasons for that which we feel. The next one is maybe worse. I'm just reading it so that we can sense this here, what I'm trying to communicate. Obey your leaders and submit to them. I mean, it's not my sermon. I already said that, but just feel that. I mean, it almost feels like if you would say this in the world right now, you'd be laughed at. No one tells me what to do. I'm happy to be influenced. You've got some great ideas. I want to hear about that. I want to take it to heart. I want to see what I know, what you know. But obey your leaders because they're keeping watch over your souls. It's concepts that has leaked out of the church. Now, we can already see how this can go wrong. Being submitted under ungodly and toxic leadership can be devastating. But we need to find the way of the Lord to trust Him and to follow Him, to lead us into health. And what I have found in leaders that do well is that there's a revelation of this that's healthy. And let's see what we can learn when we look at Jesus. And just look at Him for today. Tikkie ou langs jou en sê, dis baie stil hier binne. Let's look at Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 25. What can we learn? What can we learn from Jesus and cause it to bring health to us? If we can go to that next slide. Now I'm going to show you what the world tends to accept and what the world at the moment currently tends to reject. And then we can bring ourselves to help. For you are straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Okay, you were straying, but you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Now, what we have here is two aspects of the leadership of Christ that Scripture brings together for us to help us understand the vastness of His leadership. Because He's the great King. He's the great leader. Now the first word, there we've got shepherd, and we've got the word overseer. And the word shepherd is this word poimen, shepherd. We see in Scripture, He's the good shepherd. We see the word, He's the good poimen. Often when we see the word feed God's people, the word is poimen. Because the idea is the carer. The one who brings the sheep near. Feed them. See if there's any sickness on them. Help them. Carry them. Guide them. Watch over them. Protect them. And so you were straying like sheep, but you've now returned to the shepherd. The one who embraces and loves well. Who cares for you like a shepherd cares for a sheep. And a sheep is quite a clueless animal. But with the concern of a shepherd, the sheep can be safe, healthy, fed, have water and food. I know there's elements of shepherding that can be tough, like when you need to discipline sheep, but Let's stay for right now with that. But you've returned to the shepherd and the overseer. We've got a different look into the leadership of Christ. And it is this word, episkopos. Epi means over, skopos, like telescope, means look. He is not only the one that shepherds, but He's the one that has a vantage point so that when he looks, he sees over your life, and from that place he directs, go left. No, no, no. Watch out for that. There's danger there. And why is he the great overseer? Because he's the one that knows every day of your life, even before you were born. Now, it might be a great comfort to be reminded that Jesus is the one that looks over me, but there's only a great comfort if you trust him, because with oversight comes leadership. Left, right, stop. Because he sees, he instructs. So on the one side, he cares and feeds and brings to health. On the other side, because he sees, he instructs. Now, one of these facets of leadership, the world right now is happy to accept, and one the world is happy to reject. Guess which one? Christ as shepherd. No problem. Like that. The one who loves sinners like me. I love that. Christ, the one who connects with the outcasts. Yeah. Christ, the one who would speak to a person that all the religious leaders would rather reject. Poimain. He goes after the one. Man, I love that about him. But we have a problem of Christ the overseer, because it got implications on my life. He might tell me to go in a different direction. I don't like that. Jesus, would you stay in the influence zone? Influence me with your good-heartedness. Influence me with all the good stuff that's in you. But do not tell me what to do. I see better. And so when I say that I think the church is leaking, this is where we are leaking. And we need to return to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. What will happen in your life when the shepherd walks in and you allow him to start to direct your steps, my steps? Where would your and where would my marriage be and go if he may be meticulous with me? So I don't want you to say that anymore. I want you to say that I am looking, and this is the wrong way, that is the right way. You were straying. Now, the reason the sheep in this example is not straying is because they return to the full complement of the leadership of Christ, he who embraces and directs. Are you with me this morning? And there's healing for us to grow into. And so what we need is we need to broaden our hearts. We need to open our hearts for the full leadership of Christ. We need bigger hearts here. A big heart. Concerning the leadership of Christ. I don't want to talk about church leadership now. Let's start way deeper. Let's talk about the first elder, Jesus. That's all for this morning. When I was studying this and I was studying into these words, it's funny what the internet gives me. As I'm talking about As when we deal with God, we can assume healthy and wonderful leadership, isn't true? But what the internet throws out to me is bullying in authority, abuse of authority, abuse of power. Oh, wow, that's where we are. But isn't that true? If we are honest, aren't we all a little bit hesitant? Oh, a little bit hesitant. Of toxic leadership, and we project that onto him. And so the world has a part to play, but the church also has a part to play. The world is leading in one way, needs to find healing in the church, but it can also be, and I'm talking about the church globally, that the church has lost some health when it comes to the leadership that we find in Philippians 2. Have this mind in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who though he had all the power, rather became a servant. And so the world needs to be saved and transformed, but the church also needs to be pruned. But what we cannot do is reject biblical leadership. That's not the option. So just to summarize that, we need a big heart in leadership. And the leadership of Jesus involves shepherding and oversight. Overseeing both. And this is what I want us to chew on. And this has meaning for the next time you open your Bible. Am I looking for a nugget to hold on to? Or am I open to change an aspect of my life as my eyes run the pages of a Bible? That's very tough. Because I tell you what, I'll be honest. When I pick up speed in my life, I can start reading like reading to be influenced. Yeah, that's nice. Oh, that's so cool. But right now, the Lord is just grounding, pruning even me again. Let us read in order to be shepherded and redirected. Let us accept the oversight of the Lord. Amen? Okay. You see, the world, here's the contrast, is okay and celebrates the place where Jesus bends down to wash our feet. Hey, his heart, that's shepherding. And we see the heart with which he leads. Very important. And the world right now, the church, very comfortable with Christ washing my feet. But the world and the church is very uncomfortable with me bowing before his oversight, before his throne. You see, I'm on a chair, he washes feet, he's on a throne, I bow down. And so we must heal up there, all of us. Because there's places to go to together. And also, I mean, the church globally, but also us, we have a role to play in this healing. Isn't that true for us? Let's be a place where leadership is viewed as sweet, wonderful, the leadership of God, and as it flows down. Okay, let's go on. Now, well, interesting, and I'm just noting this, Acts 20:28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you episcopos to poimen for the church of God. Then the same terms is given to us. Yes, the church elders, but also as we live among one another, what God's heart is, that which we see in Christ, let it be broken open and flow over us and saturate us with his ways and his goodness. That's a massive responsibility, but just because it's hard, the church cannot neglect. Amen? Let's go on. So the first thing is poimen, yes, shepherd, yes. Oversight, that's a tough one. We need to heal in that. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. We've got Peter confronting the religious elites who knows the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. They know the rules of God, the wisdom of God, the leadership nuggets of God. They know. But here's the thing. He confronts them and said, but God has also sent a person. And this person, God has made Christ, which means there's a person who has come into a place of authority over us. And here's the thing, where we are leaking, where we must heal up, is biblical leadership has principles. If we go to that next slide, please. It has principles. You find them in Proverbs, Psalms. You can get them all around, Ecclesiastes. But it also has positions of authority. Now, we're only looking at Christ. Now, right now, everything on leadership is, let me share my, this is what's working in our company, in our organization. If you do it this way, try this. I mean, the Global Leadership Summit, great. I was there. Some of you guys were there. That's great because the gospel is being taken out through that. But it cannot stop there, because here's the thing. Leadership is not only nuggets to be shared. There's a person in authority. And the Jews struggled with that. They were happy with, no, but this is the wisdom. It's been given to us by Moses. This is how it works. And then Peter comes and says, but there's a new person in authority. His name is Jesus. And now you need to work with this. Where we need to prune is, principles is not enough. We need a leader. And his name is Jesus. And because we have a leader, he's in a position where he can see. And from that place, he gives oversight. Need big hearts to grow into that. Oh, I'm running out of time. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every wife is a husband. And the head of Christ is God. What do we see? If we go to that next slide. We see God taking his wisdom in leadership and feeding it into positions of authority. And he says, in my kingdom, yes, leadership is in a such a way. It's in humility, it's in love. But then it comes, it's packaged and given in people. And I'll tell you why we're running away from this. And when I say we, I mean the world, the church. Just maybe it's not that bad here, but let's keep on. Let's prune. Let's grow well here into health. Leadership can be tough. And I know this is like the most out there example I can have, but let me just make this. Give me this moment. What happened on August 6, 1945? 8:15 in the morning. Ek weet Pastor Andries weet. What happened? The atoombom het geval in Japan. Eh? How did that happen? A man had a difficult decision to make. And President Truman said, these people, they believe for their emperor, they will fight until they all die. So they're going to die or we're going to die. And what is this? That's a position of leadership I don't want to be in. And what I'm trying to illustrate is leadership hits the ground when difficult decision needs to be made. Isn't that true? And so, when I was young, we were ambitious. There was a lot of people that wanted to grow and step up into positions. I don't find that anymore with people in their 20s. They're happy to abdicate responsibility. Let me give you another illustration. We're talking about the positions that God gives as leadership that we need to step in after his example. There is more single women today with children in the world than ever before. We all know here abortion is not God's heart, but why is women crying for abortion? One of the reasons. The man has abandoned his position. He's not there. Right now in the world, we've got 21 million children with a dad in prison. Where's the dad? He's not in his position. He's left office. He's gone. We've got over 1 million children with a mom in prison. So we see it's the men that needs to rise and lead and follow. We need to heal up here. There's more than 1 million children in prison, okay? There's they list the 10 reasons. Reason number one and two, listen to this, it's not a Christian side. The two main reasons why children end up in prison is number one, violence at home. And secular psychologists said the example, the leadership given to the children caused them to end up in prison. I know these are small examples, but the principle is we cannot afford to step away from our positions of leadership that the Lord gives us. We must remain and serve well and create for the Lord a pulpit in this world where His love can be shared. The second reason was a lack of moral guidance and supervision. That's parents that was given a mantle of leadership over children that has abandoned that. Those children are in jail now. So if we go back to that previous slide, if that's okay, it says number two. Biblical leadership has principles, but also positions. What about you? You, mom? Husbands. Whew, it's a tough one. But we've got a position to stand in. Small group leader, awakened group leader. It's a position of influence from the Lord. Not only influence and authority. Grandma, grandpa. There's healing that the Lord wants to guide us to. I'm skipping the rest. Can we hand out communion, please? While the communion is being handed out, I know there's some commotion around you, but if you can follow me, I will appreciate that. Where do we start here? 1 Peter 2, verse 25. You were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and the overseer. This is where we start. You might sit here today, but you know what, Vanna? I have been mauled by leadership. I have been broken. I have been abused. I want to ask you to take one step this morning. Don't return to a human authority. Just return to Him for now. And feel what it feels like to be led by someone who loved you to death, literally. Experience what it feels like to be with a shepherd that is also your leader, that loves you in such a way that He was willing to die for you. There is someone you can trust. And ask the Lord to heal you up in your heart. He loves you with an everlasting love. Walk into His arms again. And this morning as we share communion, we're going to remember the shepherd, but we're going to invite the overseer. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, He looks, He beholds, and He says, this is how you do this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The gate is narrow. What is He doing? He's giving oversight. He's directing. He says, you have to come this way. I am the only way. This is leadership that comes with guidance. This is leadership comes with a call. He said to them, follow me. Come on, this way. Oh, and I will make something wonderful out of your life. Make you a fisher of men. This morning, while the elements are still being handed out, I want you just to close your eyes and to search your heart for the position that Jesus holds. And ask yourself, start here, and I want to ask you, is Jesus your shepherd? Do you access his arms? His warm embrace, his lap? Do you allow him to put his arms around you? Christ the shepherd wants to embrace you and give his love to you in a way that you can actually feel it. But the same Christ is also the episcopos, the one that oversees our life, and he's got a vantage point. And so from that place of loving and embracing, he says, my son, do not go left, go right. My son, you've read my word concerning this. Do not follow this way, follow that way. Is he also in your heart as overseer, commander-in-chief? Because this Jesus, God has made both Lord and Savior, Christ and King. And I'm finishing up for us. Just read with me on the screen, just the first three verses of Psalm 23. The Lord is my portion. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me. He loves me. He holds me. He moves me. Jesus, this morning as we take the bread, we are partaking of the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Thank you that we get to do this together. Come into our lives. Heal our wounds of ungodly leadership. Heal our wounds that makes us hesitant. And give us big hearts to accept the full compliment of your leadership over our lives. Let's eat together this morning. And Lord, this morning we can say for every sin, for every mistake, for every time we have wandered, blood was shed. It's the kind of leader, Lord, we can follow. The one who loved us to death. We bless you this morning, and as we drink the juice, we remember that this only by your blood, the blood of our Savior, our dearest Jesus. We worship you this morning. Let's drink the juice. Take 30 seconds where you are sitting with your eyes closed to thank him for his agency, for his leadership in your life, because it is good leadership. Amen. Amen, everyone. We are out of time. I want to ask you a big favor. If you'd be so kind to send your cup to the aisle, then the ushers could just pick it up in the row. That'll be great. So as you said, just pass the cup along. And then, there's still a couple of minutes. So go grab a coffee, grab a tea. The Lord bless you and keep you. And we see you soon again. Amen.